This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Kimberly Brummett, and on behalf of the COPS office, I'd like to introduce you to Brian Kilcommons, an internationally recognized expert on dog behavior. He has trained over 40,000 dogs and their people, published 9 books, and has been a part-time faculty member at Tufts Cummings School of Veterinary Medicine for 15 years. Brian is here to discuss with us police encounters with dogs and the behaviors dogs exhibit. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, Kimberly.
What are some of the challenges police officers face with dogs?
Some of the challenges that police officers face with dogs is encountering so many different dogs in so many different environments, whether it's an empty building, an apartment building, somebody's home, somebody's yard. The variation of scenarios is huge. And surprise, you know, they walk up to the house, knock on the door, and all of a sudden the dog comes running around from the backyard carrying on. So for them to learn how to read a dog is going to be absolutely vital so they can understand if the dog is being dangerous or not. The other thing is police officers, if you put yourself in their position, when they go into a certain area, let's say they're going into a home, there was a disturbance. There's a fence up, they look around, they don't see anything, they open the gate, they walk in the gate, all of a sudden the dog pops up screaming at them. That is very difficult without them understanding, and that's why this program is so important, on what the dog's intentions are. Most dogs are reacting out of fear or warning. They're not going to actively bite. But unless you know a couple of things, one, how to read the dog's body language, two, what your body language is like. One of the things we did is we teach officers to turn to the side because it's not as threatening. And this is exactly opposite of the training they get with people. Because when they come on the scene, they need to be assertive and take control. With dogs, they need to be neutral. So it's a big head jump, and it's something that needs to be learned. But with a police officer reading the dog, knowing how to deflate the situation by changing their body language, it makes everyone safer.
What training specifically do police officers need to stop or neutralize aggression in dogs?
Understanding what their body language is, mm-hmm. how the dog interprets it, and most importantly, how to interpret the dog's body language. Right. Listen, this is a difficult situation. So, because they're going into so many different scenarios, from empty buildings where there may be dogs, to drug dealers who have dogs that could be dangerous, to homeowners who haven't trained their dogs. So, them learning how to really get the situation under control and evaluate it as they do with people in a very short period of time is something that needs to be taught. And that's what this project is about. It's really empowering police officers to evaluate a situation and knowing the moves to make sure that they're not bitten, because most dogs don't bite. They're doing this out of fear. So they can look at the dog going, okay, fine. If I turn sideways instead of standing frontally, the dog's going to relax. Direct eye contact is a challenge to a dog. So don't look them in the eyes, look past them. So those types of tips and information that they'll be getting enables them to make sure they avoid an aggressive situation with a dog.
Are most dogs overtly aggressive with strangers and people in uniforms?
I wouldn't say most dogs. Some dogs are. You know, one of the things people don't realize is when somebody comes up in a uniform, you know, they react to it. And whether it's the FedEx guy, the UPS guy, one of the things that happens is the person comes up in a uniform, the dog warns, and the drops the package off and leaves. So the dog turns around and goes, you know what, I'm pretty tough, look what I just did. Now when that happens on a daily or weekly basis, that aggression starts to build. It's a way, in fact, that they use to teach dogs protection work or attack work. You show up, the dog shows signs of aggression, you leave, and the dog starts to build confidence. This is where the owners come in. The owners need to take control over their dogs. And there are a lot of different training techniques. There are a lot of different trainers out there. And if your dog is becoming overstimulated and is showing signs of aggression, don't rationalize the behavior. He's just being protective. It's your local police officer. I don't think you're in danger. So people socializing their dogs properly, making sure they're obedience trained, will give these dogs a lot more confidence. And where they're reacting to a situation, they can be directed. And a lot of the post office people do this now, or the FedEx, they carry dog treats. You know, the dog may not like a uniform. It's like, I don't like people in black uniforms, right? But every time I see one, I get $20. After a while, you know, they're not so bad. And if it's done consistently, I'm start going, hey, where are those people in black uniforms? And treats do that with dogs. So when people show up, they give the dog a treat, the dog starts getting a positive connotation instead of reacting.
How many dog owners train and have verbal control of their dogs, and what are the implications for police officers who encounter them in their work?
Well, Kimberly, you live in D.C. There are a lot of dogs in D.C. How many well-trained dogs do you see? How many dogs are dragging their owners around by the end of the lead? All right, how many dogs are going, showing signs of aggression with other dogs or movement? When you go to the dog parks, it's like, you know, the classic comedy routine. Fido, come, 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 come. All right, okay, it's either deafness or lack of response. The dog isn't deaf. So as far as people training their dogs more, they're going to be able to direct their behavior, so you create the opportunity to reward. Half the dogs in America think their names are no. So changing that around and moving the dog to yes is not something the dog can do. The owner has to. And I think it makes a huge difference with police officers when they're dealing with a confident, stable dog versus a dog that's under-socialized, tied out, and is allowed to show signs of aggression on a daily basis.
Great. How important is reading a dog's body language to understand the dog's intentions?
You know, the way we communicate is through words and tone of voice. Dogs communicate through body language. So we're literally developing a different language and understanding that. You know, you have this old wives' tale. He's wagging his tail. He's fine. Well, it depends. If the tail is low and swinging, the dog is fine. If the tail is horizontal or vertical and it's moving rapidly, the dog is stimulated. So people knowing what their dogs are saying and not assuming. You know, and a lot of times people assume, what, you know, they know what their dog is thinking. And I'm like, really? How did you develop that? I've been working with dogs all my life and I haven't been able to figure out what they're thinking. They'll tell me through their body language, but I can't guess. So I have to look. And that's why this program with cops is so important, where they're starting to learn what body signals mean with dogs so they can see if the dog is an actual threat. Most aren't. And they have tools to really deflate the situation.
Great. Brian, thank you for your time and expertise today.
My pleasure, Kimberly.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The COPS Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.